In the name of our God, the source of all life, all love, and all light, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. 7 years ago next month marks when Jamie and I first arrived here in Longmeadow and here at St. Andrews. And our move went exceptionally well. All of our belongings that, you know, was sent out on big orange Allied truck arrived in a timely manner. Nothing was damaged and everything was unloaded. Check. That was good. We arrived safely, despite some snowy weather, because I decided to take the Southern Tier Highway in southern New York, which really I didn't realize there were really no rest stops and there were infrequent gas stations and everything. I thought I would be adventurous as we made our way to New England, and it snowed, and it was a thing. But we arrived safely. Check. Everything's going smoothly. And then we started, you know, doing what you do in order to prepare yourselves to live life in a different state. So we had to get a new bank. We had to transfer different registrations. Jamie had to get her massage therapy license. Everything's going well. And then we went to the Springfield Registry of Motor Vehicles. That's an experience. Now in Ohio, and we thought it would be like going to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles in Ohio, where they had multiple locations throughout cities, and most small towns had a BMV. But here in Massachusetts, they like to consolidate, right? So pretty much, you know, here in the greater Springfield area, there are only like three. And we were told, just go to the one in Springfield, right? Not a big deal. We were there for a very long time. You first go in, and you have to go to a line in order to get to another line. So you go in, you have to wait 20 or 30 minutes to get to the first counter, and then they assign you basically a queue, another line to get in for whatever service you need that day. So about an hour and a half later or so, we finally made it up to the computer, up to the person who's going to take our pictures and get all of our information so that we can get our Massachusetts issued driver's license. And everything went fine after that, but we were not expecting that hour and a half wait. But could you imagine if we made it up to that desk to get our pictures taken after waiting an hour and a half, and the person said, "We got to do something else now. Sorry, we can't help you." Do you know how infuriating that would have been and frustrating? Now, unless I was in a very centered state, centered in God, I would have probably shared a few expletives, right? I mean, it would have been frustrating. But in essence, that's what Jesus does in today's gospel. This is a Jesus I don't like so much, right? So what happens is, you know, he heals Simon's mother-in-law, right? And heals several other people. And then he goes off to a deserted place, right? And that's so that he could recharge his batteries. He needs some self-care. He needs some alone time with God, right? So that's important. But then his disciples go to him. They seek him out, right? Now, Jesus' first mistake was that he didn't put his do not disturb sign outside his cave, outside his deserted place or wherever he was, right? So they're saying, "Jesus, we've got an issue here. We have a whole line of people who need to be comforted and healed by you." And what does Jesus do? He starts packing his suitcase, in essence, right? He's like, "Nope, we got to go. We got to go to another place." And that's what he does. I mean, people are weary. They are worn. They are broken. And Jesus says, "I got to go. I got to go." Now, couldn't he have just skipped his morning prayer time? I mean, prayer is really not that practical, right? Who needs that? And did he have to leave so soon? Couldn't he have done something more practical, heal at least a few more people? But he doesn't. And I think part of this is I'm interpreting this passage as I look through my 21st century hyper-individualistic and work 24/7 culture. And when I look at it through those lenses, it's quite shocking and disorienting, isn't it? But what are some possibilities? What's going on here? Like I said, I'm not sure if I like this Jesus who says, "Well, too bad," basically, right? But first, Jesus probably knew that he really wanted to be true to his purpose given by God, and that he wanted to be really effective in doing his job. So he couldn't just run around ragged all the time, right? He needed some time for self-care. He needed to maintain a strong relationship with God so that he could heal more people at some other point, right? So that's a possibility. And if Jesus needs that type of self-care, what does that mean for us? I think we need to implement self-care practices and intentional time with God all the more. As my friend and priest colleague Rick Morley once said, "I mean, I have an important job and all, but I am not the savior of the world. And even the savior of the world needs quiet time alone." And we have to remember that we are more than the tasks that we accomplish. Second, maybe Jesus is foreshadowing something that is about to unfold with this fledgling Christian movement. I think Jesus knows that he's not going to be around always, right? And he needs to start equipping others, namely his disciples, to provide care for others. He wants to respond to needs, but does he have to be the one to do it alone? Maybe he thinks now that he has shown the locals how to ask for healing power, the healing power of God and how to access it, that maybe they don't need him so much. Maybe he's encouraging them to figure this out. And to some degree, we're much nicer than Jesus, I must say. In pastoral care, our role when people seek clergy, a member of the clergy, or our pastoral care team for what they need, we walk with them, but we also figure out other resources to support them. We also invite them to tap into the inner strength that God has given them in order to endure through whatever situation. And we'll still walk with them, but we also don't want them to become overly dependent on one or two people. But we would never say, "Well, too bad, we're moving on to a different town." I assure you of that. If Jesus would have stuck around, would they have been able to figure things out on their own, all this healing business? So that's a possibility. Lastly, we have to remember that Jesus' principal purpose in the Gospel of Mark is to spread the good news far and wide. Right from the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, that's what he says that he's going to do. It's all about good news, good news. And yes, healing people and liberating people, certainly part of the good news. But as much as Jesus may have wanted to stay in the beautiful fishing village of Capernaum on the north side of the Sea of Galilee to heal more people there, he knew that he needed to move on for the sake of his mission. He knew that he had to say no to the local in order to say yes to the universal. He was invested in the big picture of why he was sent in the first place. And I think this invites us as individuals and collectively as a community to reflect on how we need to prioritize life as well, to focus on the big picture or the big puzzle, if you will, and how all the puzzle pieces fit together to make the big puzzle. But I see so many people here and in our society in general, it's an American issue, running around on empty all the time, running on fumes, frazzled, worried. And it seems like we're giving everything in life the same priority, right? Everything is urgent. Everything needs to happen. But then we don't invest in putting together the big puzzle. I struggle with that. I know a lot of other people do as well. So how do we prioritize in our life what gives us life and that of those around us? That's tricky. So as we approach Lent, which starts in a week and a half, Lent when we focus on Jesus' 40-day adventure with God out in the wilderness, I invite you to find some deserted places to refresh, to renew, to commune with God so that you can invest more in the big picture of life, the big puzzle of life, so that you can continue to do God's work in a restored way. And that time that you need in that deserted place may be what is needed for your own healing and wholeness, and for the healing and wholeness for the entire world. Amen.